This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to Luann Linnegan and...
James Wrench.
Hi, James.
Hello.
So, a little giggle. We were talking about possibly the Lord gave me a quick teaching on, I think it was Wednesday morning. And that happened to be at Ash Wednesday. And I used to practice that in my life before I was born again. And I didn't even realize it was Ash Wednesday, but I got a teaching on Lent. You know, and it's, you know, 40 days, 40 nights, the Jesus in the wilderness. It's a reflection of that, basically, and his sacrifice for us and him going, being crucified, and then Easter, you know, the resurrection. So God was in my spirit. I was sensing him saying that he wanted me to teach. I didn't know who. First, myself, of course, always, about internal, the inner man fasting, because that's what Lent is. It's fasting today. I know more about it today than I did when I was practicing it. So we were talking a little bit about it when we were, and the radio was on and someone called in. So it's really nice to know that people are listening. And I wasn't sure if I was going to share it, but because I said I shared it at the jail with the women, because we talked about them being fasting exterior things, like no phones, they don't have doors, you know, everything they do is pretty much public. And, you know, they're fasting a lot of the exterior life that they had. So I believe when I brought the teaching to them, we talked about interior fasting, you know, like patience, restraining from pen and tongue, like things that we can do from the inner man to practice and not for the next 40 days. So they all have an assignment if they choose to do it. I mean, there's no, you know, it's up to them. But I suggested if it was something they tried. And I also explained to them that God loves them no matter what. Even if it was only for an hour, they were able to do it. You know, it doesn't, it's just for their own self to do. Like we were talking about self-discipline or self-denial, you know, like, when we say put down the flesh or dying to self, listen, we're all, if you're born again, you're a new man, you're a new creation, your true man identity, your spirit man is alive. But the flesh needs to be circumcised, basically. it needs to be starved out of certain things that get in the way of our relationship with God. So when God was giving me this download, these are some of the things he was telling me. Challenge to fast something from the inside that is not in line with God's character, something that lines up with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so if you know the fruit of patience, kindness, goodness, you know, all these things, see how when your character changes, your desire changes and your behavior changes too. So when, and this is the whole key to the whole thing that God wants for all of us, is to let your spirit lead your mind your soul, and then your soul will activate the body to do a work, to do an action that lines up with God's will. Because if your spirit's lined up with God's spirit, then it's his desires, his will, that's going to be manifested. So 40 days and 40 nights fast in the wilderness. And then I read all about Matthew in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Mark 1 through 13, and Luke 4, 1 through 13. And it was it's prayer, reflection, and self-denial, a time of trial, purification, and preparation for what God is calling you to do to fulfill his plan and purpose and desire, as it is in heaven here on earth, through you by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we want to make room for the Holy Spirit in our heart daily. So it's a daily thing. If you listening have made a decision to put something down, you know, for me, it is patience. That's why I probably said it, you know, in every area, like the rolling of the eyes, when I'm driving, like I have to pay attention to all the ways my body gets comfort or satisfaction when I'm impatient, mm-hmm. you know, and I got to. So yes, I'm guilty. And yes, new things start coming up. I'm like, ooh, I didn't realize that was related. Because when you put one thing down, you get to see another thing, you know, and that's what's been happening. I'm realizing the way I shed my patience, how I know, is when I get mad at the knob on my garbage, when it grabs my shirt, when I'm walking. I'm like, I get so mad at a knob. It's not even a person because the knob grabbed me and stopped me from moving forward, you know? And that's how I know when impatience is trying to get me to alter, you know, my behavior and even the way I'm feeling for the day, you know, all frustrated. And I have to, and then I have to look at it and say, wait a minute, I'm mad at the doorknob. That not the what is that whatever the handle that I pull out for the garbage, it grabs my shirt every once in a while, especially when you're in a rush. For some reason, the knobs love you.
But you did learn to love the animals, right?
Yeah, I love them. I get a little, you know, impatient with them too, but I'm aware, you know. Mm-hmm. And then like today, I gave them like a dry bath, and I try to do something in a loving manner, you know. So I shared this with the girls and the women in the jail, because they're already fasting, I would say, exterior things. So I really felt that it was something I would share. But I really think it's something that I think in this time, for such a time as this, I really think God is calling people to fast inner things that, you know, cause separation from him, gossip, you know, bitterness. It's things we can't see, but they're in there. And the only time we see them is when they manifest out of our body. But by that time, we're already, you know, twisted up. So get self out of the way of God's glory, because he wants to shine right through you, you know. And other people will witness him, how he has manifested and altered your life and transformed your life. Because we are a witness. Go ahead.
And just when you do fat, if you do like a real fast of food, like some people that practice that have it, you get way more control over those things. They start kind of going out with the not eating. And it's amazing. And I don't fast as much anymore, as just as he guides me. But when I used to do longer fasts, it would amaze me how things that would normally really bother me, I'd really want to do, and I'd be like, I just wish I could eat. I don't care about none of that stuff. I just want to eat.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I'll say this. I relate Lent to, because the Italians have a certain way of doing things. It's Lent, but on Fridays we don't eat meat. Like, they altered it. If you're pregnant, you're eliminated from it. And, you know, there's a time, too, 14 to 59. That's the time you're supposed to, you can do Lent. You do Lent. And if you're over 59 and you're in the 14, you're exempt, you know? So it's just funny because you're saying this. I don't fast as much. Maybe there's something to that. You know what I'm saying? So spiritual discipline, our obedience, is discipleship. You know, when we're being disciplined by the Holy Spirit, by God, we're being discipled so that we can be disciples for him, to others, because he needs people to help others, right? Through their experience, strength, and hope. It's similar to when you first go into a program or a church or, therapy, or it's the people in groups, I'm saying. People before you that reach out their hand and help you to acclimate. We're trying to help people acclimate into the kingdom of heaven, you know, what it's like to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We don't have to die to experience the kingdom of heaven. We can actually do that right here, right now. And that's what Jesus, that's why Jesus came to do everything. He brought us back into the
kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. Right. And so it's also spiritual maturity. Fast as a matter of the inner heart, the heart sacrifice, rather than by the outer sacrifice. You know, I think Matthew 6:16 through 18 talks a little bit about that too. By starting inside, the outside will follow in the image and likeness of God. And that goes even what we're talking about, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, right? That's the same thing. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind so that you could be transformed, have a different set of belief systems, moral values, and they line up with God's character. And that's the whole point, is to be sold out. He bought us with his blood, a price. Are we, you know, to be restored, you know, to restore us, to put us back in his place, right? So to preach and to say, and to we have to say, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. We are the vessel for the Holy Spirit. The same thing, the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in us. And he, the Holy Spirit, wants to lead and guide us into all truth, into all of what Jesus' assignment ministry is. So, James, did you want to share anything more about the Lent fasting? We say fasting, but it's Lent in,
yeah,
in
just,
other religions.
And just to be
and it starts
clear
on
when we
Ash Wednesday and ends the Thursday before Easter. Okay.
Fasting is actually, we know that, like, being like being incarcerated, anything that's forced upon you isn't you fasting it. We do realize that, but it's a good way for her to bring it across to the people in there. Because if you don't have food, then you're not really fasting, you know, you're just forced in fast. Just a funny little story. I had went to this his house of prayer, and there was this girl that had just started, just got saved, and I was talking a little bit, and then 6 months later I'm out there, and they were talking about fasting. She's talking to me. She goes, yeah, I just did a 40-day fast. And I'm like, man, and I'm feeling so inadequate, you know, like 11 days or 14, I think it was the longest I went. And then we're talking a while. She said, well, I just fasted at the TV. I'm like, ugh. Here I'm sitting there all upset with myself, you know. Mm-hmm. That was just so funny. Well, I just fasted at the TV. I'm like, that's not really fasting, but you can call it that. But anything you put down into dying of your flesh, you know, a big one in America is coffee. I mean, if go a few days without that, if anyone on here that's actually starting to, that would like to fast, they're like, well, I just can't do that. And I've tried. If you just do lunch, if you just do right. one meal, if you put one meal off for 2 hours and you're hungry, you're doing that for the Lord. And if you keep it between you and him, it's
right.
So it's about the relationship, you know?
Yeah. And so I do think, I mean, food is a big thing because, you know, it's a real necessity for us. But I think anything, like you're saying, that you want to put down, even the cell phone, you know, like make a commitment one day a week or whatever it is, it's a heart matter. When you're doing it for the Lord,
denying the flesh,
he honors and blesses it, you know, even if it is, like you said, you know, and I told the women that, even if it was, he loves you. Even if it's for an hour and you find yourself, you know, even sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it, you know, and you're like, oh, my God, don't beat yourself up. Just start again or, you know, whatever. It's just the fact that you started it. He's smiling on that. He loves that we love him, that we're willing to do that, you know, and that's what believing is the willingness you know, to trust him and believe. And it starts with just a little mustard seed sometimes, you know. And that's it's.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy in Georgia. He's like, I fasted. I've never been able to go through the night. And, you know, I just feel like I blew everything and like God's upset. And I'm like, look, anything you do, just even if you did that, if you want to do 3 days and you ate at night, then I mean, anything you're doing for him. You're giving up something for him.
That's right.
You know, so it's not like, don't make it religious.
Right. God, exactly.
God,
that's very important.
Stop you sometimes if you start getting where you're doing good. Oh, I'm going to do 7 days and you're on the sixth day and he'll go eat. You're like, I just got one more day and I make the seven for the first time. He's like, yeah, your motive is all screwed up.
That Amen.
Just go ahead and eat.
Amen.
He did that with Dan Mulder. Yeah. I think he was going towards the 40 days and he was arguing with God and he goes, and Dan Mulder's not the one to argue with God. He's like, and he said, the Lord said, just the fact that you're arguing with me shows you that you are not in the spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to give that information out that was on my heart, that God put on my heart for the women in the jail, for myself. And obviously we were talking about it on the radio before the show. And I felt, well, obviously he might want us to mention something about that to someone listening is probably thinking about it, you know? And there are so many books about, you know, preparing to fast and things like that, that are very simple, small books. I know, what's his name? Vladimir. He has a nice little one about why we fasting.
Derek Prince had a lot of fasting books. Good. And who's the guy? I can't think of his name. Everybody knows him. The guy on TV that does the 21 days at the beginning of every year.
Yeah.
The dark hair.
And then
I'll think in a minute.
Hagen has Why Fast, you know, like things like that. It's little pamphlet things, not anything, you know, just it helps you to feed your heart, your soul and your heart to get some more information and prepare.
And self-denial has honestly kind of left the American church, you know. It's not much self-denial. It's all self-gratification kind of now, you know, what pleases me, what's exciting to me. And God wants to bless us, but there is something to deny in the flesh. You know, he wouldn't have told us to do it.
Amen.
Daily.
Amen. Yeah. But if you think about it, it
doesn't mean fast daily, but it means denying.
No, but if you think about it, before a blessing, or, you know, there always seems to be some kind of obedient or sacrifice that needs to be made, you know, before you get to the other side. So, you know, in other areas also is what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's true.
A lot of times when you fast, like even if it's a day or 3 days, it's a lot of times for me, and I know a lot of other people I end up working with, it starts happening with them, is God will give them a God dream. With me, it's the day I eat, though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Just like conversation. Just loving. It's like a hug.
Yeah, amen. Confirmation. He's with you. He knows. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and he's the only one that tells you something
you need to know, too.
Amen, right? Amen. Yep. So we've been talking about step two as it relates to the Bible, that we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, meaning reasonability, manageability, the truth. Sanity is knowing the truth. Insanity is believing lies, is, you know, not knowing the truth. And I lived my whole life insane, basically, until I met the truth. He set me free. He made me free. Hallelujah. And behind every step, we talked about that there's a spiritual principle, and the one behind step two is hope, you know, because you come to believe is what we see other people before us builds our hope that develops. You need hope in order to step out in faith. You got to believe that if that person, if he could do it for them, then he could do it for me. you know, there's a song. It's the truth. If that person, especially people, you know, who have been one way, you know, all I know is I was blind and now I can see kind of, you know, thing. And then you say, wait a minute, you know. And that's why testimonies are important. People sharing the gospel, how God is impacting their life, or people that they know's life so that they can share that. It's a testimony, a witness, because it builds up the hope that it takes for other people to say, I want that, and step out in faith.
Yeah, he's just been talking to me more about testimonies. Like,
amen.
I used to do that more. And sometimes people are healed just when you're giving testimonies of healing, you know. And when I used to do classes at House of Prayers, the faith, just powerful things would happen just through testimonies.
Amen. So
he's been talking to me about it.
Amen.
Getting back to that.
Yeah. So on page 62 of the big book, just going to say, it's about our solution. And it talks about in the middle of it. So our trouble, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic, or the person that's suffering from spiritual malady or mental malady, you know, we have a spiritual sickness, disease without Christ, right? Is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though he usually doesn't think so. So I was the last person to know that I was crazy. I'm going to say not crazy, insane. Because crazy is different.
Yeah, and people don't know they are.
Insane means I didn't know. I was in denial about the truth. It's not that I didn't know the truth. I didn't want to accept the truth. You know, I knew that there was something. I mean, not everybody gets up and wants to smoke crack. I mean, it's not even crack. It was a freebase. You know what I mean? It's like I knew there was something wrong about that. But I was like, well, you know, I'm young. I made excuses, you know, but deep down I knew I was believing a lie, but I'd rather not deal with it, basically. So self-will riot, though he is is an extreme example of self-will riot, usually he doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics, or people that are suffering from spiritual malady, it doesn't have to be alcohol. It could be bitterness, anger. I mean, there are other things that we rely on, even gambling, sex, porn, you know, these things, another person. You could be obsessed and addicted to someone else, you know, and there's a lot of that. Because it's so easy to confuse it with love, lustful love, natural love, man-made love, okay? And it says here, we must, or it will kill us. We must get rid of, above all, everything. We alcoholics must get rid of selfishness. It's a self-centered way of life. Just recently, I got news that, you know, like, someone committed suicide in New York. And all I kept thinking is, and I know, and
a friend?
No, it was not a friend, personal friend. But the first thoughts I had, well, first of all, it's very sad that someone is so hopeless, but they're so consumed by their own self, they can't think outside of their eye gates about other people. Mm-hmm. You know, like what can possibly, you don't think it through. Like there's something so self-consuming about that.
Well, it's a spirit, though.
You're right. And that's what I'm getting. It's not only, and selfishness, you know, and it's not to be mean to say that, but it's so obvious. That's the most obvious form of being self-consumed. When I say self-consumed, it's like just feeding off myself, my desires, my will, my pain, my suffering, all that. And let me tell you, there were times, and I'm only sharing this because every day I was using, it was a form of trying to indulge in myself, you know, kill myself, basically, because if that's what it is.
Kill the feelings.
And there were times where I got dramatic and, you know, I did some dramatic things, which were very harmful because they were selfish. They were coming out of a selfish, self-pity place in my heart.
And I just want to say, when you say self-pity, we're just talking about the spirit of self-pity. We're not saying, right. Oh, you just feel sorry for yourself, because there's a spirit that has somebody bound and they don't know it. I had that thing from first grade. I was suicidal. Imagine killing myself. I go home from school and sit, lay in bed, imagine killing myself all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
for many, many, many days.
Right.
But it was in my parents, it's in her sisters, it was in just in our family line. That's the way spirits run. But it's, if you can get, one thing I was proud of Luann about when I first met her, we were talking a bit, her pastor brought her to a class I was doing on deliverance, and I hadn't talked to her about the stuff and like self-pity, so she didn't even know what spirits were yet. And I was like, she goes, well, I'm going to go to a meeting because I'm starting to get consumed with myself. And when you help someone else, that's how I get myself out of it. And self-pity is that way. It'll keep you focused on yourself and your problems. And the minute you can push yourself to help someone else, it really helps.
Amen.
Put it out.
Amen.
And then you start feeling a difference. But for her to just do that, not even knowing, I was like, wow, that's powerful. That's good. I
mean, amen.
Because most people, if they don't know it's even right. A spirit, they do not. They just want to feed it, you know. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through, and for me, and my disease, and my this. And
so, amen. Let me just say this. So that's a perfect example of someone that wasn't doing it unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. It was doing it because it was something that worked in my life mm-hmm. for me to feel better about the situation, to get to refocus, to get out of my head. You know what I mean? And that's similar to someone saying to someone that scripture where it says, I fed the poor. I did all these things because even though it worked, because God, it's a spiritual tool and God it's ordained. It's a commandment, you know, like to go and help others, right? To feed the poor, to do those things. So you're going to get blessed from God. It's not why we do it, but it just so happens. So even though I didn't know why I was feeling better, it was, you know, I was trained to like, oh, I got to get out of this head. Let me go help somebody and get into their problem. So I'm out of my problem.
Yeah.
You know, but it works. Now,
it definitely works.
It definitely works. So whether you, because God reigns on the dead things and the live things, you know what I mean? Like, so this is what I'm trying to say is, that's why we say so many times, like, oh, they're not even a Christian, but they're being blessed because they're lining up. You see, I was lining up with a decree from the King, King God, in the kingdom of heaven. So what it's like in heaven, I can experience here on earth, even though, unfortunately, at the time, I didn't know. It wasn't eternal. It wasn't something that I could appreciate, that I understood. You know what I'm saying? And it was fleeting.
And what she's referring to is there's things, commandments in the Bible. It says, honor your parents. That's the first commandment with mm-hmm, blessing, mm-hmm. and you'll have long life. And whether you know the Lord or not, when you honor them, you get that blessing because it's in God's word.
Amen.
He's not going to say, no, you did it. You didn't serve me. It's like, it's in the word.
That's right.
You did it.
That's right.
And just like, enmities is a rottenness of the bones, and it's going to fall on, the curse is going to fall whether you know the Lord or not.
Exactly. That's what it's exactly.
Gravity works whether you know the Lord or not, and so does God's laws. And that's what she's referring to. I just want to.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So they understand what
so,
you meant.
And it says here, and this is in the big book. So it says here, we have to get rid of selfishness. We must, or it will kill us. God makes that possible. So even in this, it's telling us that God is the solution. He's the only solution. Then it goes further to say, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. That's what this is about. Second step is about, okay, the power comes from God. So this is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This, the Holy Spirit of God now comes to live and indwell in you. And he wants to fill you up every day. His indwelling is there. He wants to bubble up and out of you every day. And how does that happen? It's like you feed. It's daily bread. Iron sharpens iron. Daily bread. It strengthens us spiritually. Spending time with God. These are the things, you know, taking action that lines up with the word. This is how the Holy Spirit starts to bubble up. It's living water in your belly. Rivers of living water. Rivers. There's many. Praise the Lord. Not just, you know, in finances. It's in families. It's in work. I mean, how beautiful is that? That we can have him in every area of our life. Living water. Right? Never thirst again. Like God talked to the woman at the well. Praise the Lord.
Peace, joy, health.
Amen.
Wholeness.
Yep.
Sanity.
So our solution is in page 62, and it says we have to have God's help. So, and in page 17 in there, because I was reading a little bit, reviewing my notes, it talks about the power, the solution to a common problem. And the common problem is, yes, spirit, soul, and body malady, but our common problem is separation from God. Even though we might say, well, I know God. I mean, I thought I knew God to some degree. I didn't know him. I thought I did, though, because I went to Catholic school. I did that. So, yes, I was betraying God when I was out there. But when I stopped doing those things, I thought, well, okay.
He means out there in the world.
Out there in the world when I was out there using and fornicating everywhere and just being honest and, hating everybody, violent, when I was doing all those things. And then I came into the therapeutic world. I'll say I went into mental institutions, rehabs, things like that. I didn't even know what they were until I was put in them. And then I restrained from those substances that my mood altered my mind from those substances. I still had feelings that were doing it, but I wasn't doing those things. So I went back to what I knew about God was my, Catholic religion growing up, but it still kept me separate from him because I wasn't born again. And that's what the second step is about. The first step is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We talked about that. And then the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in you. You are the house. You are the governor's house. The governor is the one that brings the king's decrees, the king's moral values, the king's systems into different foreign territories and pollinates his culture. He's the one that brings the king's culture into different territories. That's why Jesus came during the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the first empire to ever not demolish the land and leave it and go back. They took over the land and brought in their culture into the land. And that's the whole point of the kingdom of God. That's why it was so strategic when Jesus came. God had a plan. And it was when people understood the concept about migrating other cultures into their territory, kingdoms, I'll say, not other cultures, kingdoms into their territory. The Roman kingdom was the first kingdom, empire, to take over different territories in the world, in that area, outside of Rome and the areas that they had. And that's the difference, because before that, you'll see in the Old Testament, he tells them to demolish everything. God tells them everything gets demolished, even children, animals, everything, and leave it.
And the reason they demolish, people are like, why not to hurt. God,
yeah, right.
So
go ahead.
Cruel in the Old Testament. Well, nowadays we have deliverance. Before that, you could not
no way
get
out.
Demons
he
out
was
of
doing
people.
Them a favor.
Occult sacrifices and these occult things with the animals. There's just a lot of demons and everything. And God was trying to keep the Israelites pure from them coming in. And that's why they weren't supposed to go marry and bring their gods in, which I know Solomon let them come in. I think he was trying to just have it where if he married all these king's daughters, it would keep him from actually battling against him. It was always my thought. I could be totally wrong on that. But I thought, well, that's one way to do it. He married everybody in every country. Like if Trump was married to Putin's wife and this guy's wife, they're not going to attack their own family when they're living here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was a strategy or not, but the occult stuff was brought in there. But that was why they destroyed everything, was just to stop the demonic was growing in the people, getting more holes, and they're doing more crazy occult stuff. And that's why he would
the monk just, kill it
because
there
wasn't you couldn't cast them out until after Jesus came. Amen. We had no authority over
and that's why we even had
now
the flood.
We love the people and get them dirty demons out.
Praise God. So through this separation from God, and everyone has been separated when you're born into this world, right? Through one man's sin, Adam, and through one man's sacrifice, we were brought back into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And that means we have a piece of his kingdom. So with God, when we're in God's presence, we're princes and princesses. And when we're back in our territory here, and, you know, God tells us we're king. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We are priests, royal priests for him. So we're the intercessor. We're the ones that go and intercede from on God's behest to other people, draw them in. That's what the priest did. Lords are the owner of the territory. How am I managing my territory? Because then I can help someone else by them witnessing, right? And king is ruler over my territory. Hallelujah. So we can still live separate from God, even when you know him, when you say you claim you know him. I did. You know, it's that intimacy that changes everything. That's seeking him. That's where the communion comes from. That's where the marriage, the union with God, one. And the Holy Spirit, we talked about it last week, is our engagement ring. He seals us as his bride. Hallelujah. So even when we confess he is Lord and Savior, Adam knew him, you know, and he got cast out. Satan knew, Lucifer knew him, you know. So, you know, it doesn't, just because we know him, who else? Judas knew him. Judas walked with him. But we can still say we know him, but are we following him? Are we believing his way is the only way? So we have to come to believe that the power, this power, God, his Holy Spirit power, can restore us to sanity. We have to come to regain consciousness. It means to wake up, to arrive at a particular condition. So God wants to bring us back to his original creation, the new man, the spirit man, his creation before the fall. It's a spiritual awakening. The Bay Book talks about it. People in the program talk about the awakening. There's difference between, I believe, spiritual experiences. You can have them whether you know God or not, because the Holy Spirit's around us all the time. And I can experience someone else's spiritual experience. And, you know, like I share, one of them was, and I've shared it on the radio before, and it was only because it was brought to my remembrance that one day I was in, you know, we were freebasing. It was the dealer's place. It was his house. And he had the girlfriend. I mean, it was crazy. It was a crazy place to be. But I had just left and it got raided like 2 seconds later. You know, it's like I was going and the cops were coming. All right. Mm-hmm. And how did that even happen? You know, that was definitely a spiritual experience. Now, I didn't think about it then. I just thought I was lucky. You know, it wasn't until, you know, being born again.
He knew we were going to get. That's why he.
Amen.
I was 11. Go ahead.
No, but it wasn't until I knew him that he was able to bring me to that place of awareness. You know, like, there you go. That was a spiritual experience. But this now that you're awake, you can see it, you know.
Sometimes the Lord would talk to me, and not a lot, but just in an important matter like that. And I don't know if I really realized, if I thought about it, oh, this is God talking to me. But I was walking down this 4-lane road at 11 years old, and the Lord said, there's a truck coming up behind you. Do not turn around and look. He's going to try and grab you. Wait until he passes you and run. Then I hear semi slowing down. I might have told this before. I hear the Jake brake. Brrr, brrr, and I'm like all nervous and just looking. And I'm looking with my eyes as hard as I can to the left, but keep my head straight so you don't think anything. Trying to just obey the voice. And He probably, the back end, it didn't have a trailer on. The back end of the truck probably made it where I was standing if I wouldn't have moved. It was almost stopped. He's looking out the window at me, and the second it broke eye contact, I just bolted as fast as I could run through this field. And I get halfway through the field, looked over, and he drove up on the street beside me. He was looking at me driving as I was running. I stopped, and he stopped. He's just staring. I looked around, and there was a house with some people in the carport, and I ran full speed to that house. I never told anybody anything. And there's a guy who played Little League Baseball in there. That's the only reason it was 11, because we were pitching next year, and we were both 12 when we pitched. So, and he drove off, but I don't know if I thought about it afterwards much about it. You know what I mean? Like, but I wouldn't be here if
there's
a situation like that. There were miracles, but I didn't even, I don't know what miracles. I thought about it really.
Right. Amen.
But it's intense when it would come.
Yeah. So to believe, I've already shared this. I want to share it again. I think if hearing it over and over again helps us to retain it in our minds. Mm-hmm. So to believe is to be loved, believe, leave is loved by God, to know that you're loved by God, to be loved so that you can give love, right? His love. To be leave is be in agreement, to be leave, this is what leave means, agreement, joined, is to, it means light, to be light. It means willingly, willing. And lev, L-E-V, equals heart in Hebrew. And that means dear to God. It means the center of emotions. That's the heart, the inner place, the innermost place, right? It's your mind, will, courage, and inner self person, your moral character, integrity of the heart. So when you believe, he's looking at the integrity of the heart, what the heart believes. Because you don't, believing is... We can believe in the wrong thing. We can have faith in the wrong thing. All right? I believe what I faith in, what I believe in, I'll faith in. And that means I'll act upon what I believe in. And I am what I believe. It'll all manifest because everything I've, all my decisions, right, are based out of what I believe. And so I'm right here right now as a result of all little steps of faith in what I believe, basically. So it also means the hem of a garment. How beautiful is that? That leave, L-I-E-V, means the hem of a garment. That brought me right to the woman with the blood issue. And she had faith to touch him. And we have to have that kind of faith, okay? It's the faith to accept the truth. That's what believe means. It means accepting the truth. That's what faith is. It's knowing the truth, right? To be convinced that something exists, such as Jesus Christ is God. That is real. That is true. Either he is or he isn't. To have trust in the ability of a person or a concept. So a person for me is Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Concept of is repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. So that's the concept that I believe. So whatever we believe, we become, right? And it could be a person, place, or thing I believe in, because I've done that before, believed in other, you know. And today, for me, the person, place, and thing that I believe in is Jesus, the kingdom, and his supply. Amen. So in page 25, it talks about there is no middle of the road solution. God is or he isn't Jesus. That's up to you. It says in page 25, either God is or he isn't. But this is why I believe so many people are still struggling, because we all can have a concept. I had a concept of God, but I didn't have the one true God, Jesus Christ. And that's what kept me in the wilderness, basically, you know? And I believe that's still a lot of issues in the world today, in 12-step programs, in you know, different religion groups. It's not that, I mean, the centurion prayed to God, but it wasn't until the angel and Jesus, he accepted Jesus. Same thing with Saul before he came Paul. He loved God. He understood the Torah in a religious way. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until he was face to face with Jesus that he understood who God was, who he is. And until that moment, there's going to be darkness in your heart, and you're going to be lost. It's like a chicken without a head. Because you don't have Christ head.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
The mystery revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes. And then it's no more mystery. He wants to reveal all his mysteries to you, but he's not going to reveal his mystery to the enemy. So we have a way out of separation from God, and that's Jesus Christ, our higher power. Some people call him higher power, but we should be saying his name, the name above all names, you know, and it's in his name that we have power and authority. It's only in his name. So we can say higher power until the cows come home. We could say God, God, God until the cows come home. But if we don't recognize Jesus Christ, then we're not revealing the truth to others. Even if we might think that, even we might believe it, we need to declare him to others. That's the whole point.
If the church just substituted, just a lot of people doing it, not picking on anybody, but say the power of Jesus instead of the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just deflects a little.
So Jesus has joined us with the Father, you know, and the Holy Spirit's in us. So we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He made us whole. And then page 25 it further talks about there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the self-discovery. And I believe it is a journey to discover how much you're not in his image and likeness. The 12 steps reveal that, you know, but the beautiful thing is there's a promise if you're willing to look at it truthfully, you know, especially when you do the fourth and fifth step, because you're looking at those dark places in your life, in your behavior. Not, it starts out, they do it beautifully, starts out who you resentful to. Starts out with the finger this way, but then all of a sudden you see the three right back at you. You know, you're writing all this stuff down. Yeah, I don't like it, Sue. You know, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, you know, it was me. It's in me. Hallelujah. So it says self-discovery, the self-searching, the level of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, sinful behaviors, that's what they are, or secrets that we keep, okay, which the process requires for its successful consummation, but we saw it really worked in others. See, there's where the hope is. And we had to come to believe in the hopelessness, the powerlessness, and futility of life as we had been living it as the old man. And that's what happens. If I don't get to a place of brokenness, I'm not going to ask for help, basically. I'm going to think I have another way out. I'm going to think I can do it. I can fix this. And that's the way I live my whole life. You know, and sometimes I still can say, think that I know better, you know, and then I have to get humble because it's not working. That's where the insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, if anything in your life is looking like that, that might be a place where you're believing a lie. You're believing a lie, not the truth.
And it's very common with addictions that if you start pressing through and you're working on stuff and you start getting a little better, whether you're in a program or not in a program, you just, and all of a sudden you think you got it handled. That pride just comes in. It happens every time. And
yep.
No, I don't need that anymore.
That's
I'm
right.
And go boom. Mm-hmm.
I know because, you know, I, and that's so true, James, because I just heard a story about someone who just said that. I don't need that place anymore. You know, I don't want to be like them. Let me just tell you something. It probably would benefit that person to be a little bit more like that. But anyway, what I'm trying to get to is even when I was in the rooms and I didn't have Christ as my Lord and Savior. I mean, I said I thought I did, but I didn't. I didn't receive the Holy Spirit and say, oh, I don't need this anymore. No, I received the solution, and now I needed to be there even more because I had to share the solution because I was so lost in there. even though my life looked good, even though I, you know, got, you know, things were, you know, not tragic, you know, but I had to, I couldn't say, okay, now I have the solution. I don't need this anymore. No, I believe that God put me there. He doesn't make mistakes for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to just get to the place where it was for his reason, not mine. You know, same thing. He put me in my family for a reason. I'm not stuck there. It's not like, why was I born? I used to say that. Why am I born in this family? No, I'm happy now because I know I have a purpose in that family. God's purpose for me. And thank God, you know, because I was the first person in my family to be born again. And now there's so many more people in my family born again, you know.
And it goes from what do I have to get to what do I have to give, you know.
Amen.
Right. You just come to the church. Well, so nobody come by and chick and said hi to me. I'm like, well, you've been at church 2 years. When do you become the one going and saying hi? Why are they the ones they're still supposed to say hi, even the new people just walking in there? Why are you still waiting, thinking they need to comfort you?
Amen.
That's why you see me walking around everybody, because I'll hug one. I know the one's going to get, even when we're not hugging, I start hugging everybody because I can see their faces like, why didn't James hugging me?
So we must come to believe in a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. And that means to believe the truth, all right? To be rational, to be healthy, whole, to have well-being, soundness of mind, spirit, and body, calm and balanced. That's what, this is all sanity. The ability to behave reasonable and thoughtfully. Isn't that a beautiful description of sanity? To be reasonable and thoughtful. So not only, you know, to be thoughtful about someone, take captive that thought, bring it to the obedience. Like, should I say that? Hold off. Should I do that?
What's the motive?
Hold off. Right.
Because rejection is such a big thing. The unloved spirit and rejection.
Yep. And that's why when we know the Father's love, oh my God, it's the greatest awareness, I think, because it's an identity thing. When you know how much he loves you, you don't need someone else to love you like that. You know, you can go in and give. You can be the giver because you have everything you need in him. And that's why it's so important to understand and to really accept God's love. He gave first. He gave us love because he knew that's what we needed in order to do anything for him, in order to even understand him, because he is love. Hallelujah.
And people saying, well, I don't think I need love. But you don't realize you show it in your identity and trying to get acceptance and prove what you know or prove or do this and not be wrong. Because if you're wrong, then you lose your whole identity. I mean, you're feeling like such a loser when nobody even cares which one's right or which one's wrong.
Amen. So the coming of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter 1:2, this is where we ended last week. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may his grace, his divine influence of the Holy Spirit and peace be multiplied in you. And that means the seed of Christ multiplied, the fruit of the Spirit, his character multiplied in you. Acts 2:1-4 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered in one place. They were all in one accord. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we were born when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, right? You're born of body and spirit, the body of God. You're born into his body of Christ, the body, and his spirit. Hallelujah. You're adopted into the family of God, to the kingdom of heaven. You're a citizen. Hallelujah. We have dual citizenship here. We have here on earth and in heaven. Hallelujah. Because he needs living vessels to fulfill his will and purpose, okay?
God uses people is what she's saying. Yes. Like anything happening to the earth, God moves through people, whether it's us speaking healing or speaking declaring or whatever we're doing. So the devil also needs people. So you, 99% of the people the devil kills, he murders through people, not just murdering themselves, even though he can't do that.
Amen.
So both kingdoms are struggling to get in this earth.
Yep.
They come through us.
That's right. That's the battle. That's the spiritual battle. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made," that means created to exist, to be formed, "to drink of one spirit." So be impregnated with God's seed by the Holy Spirit. Say yes, like Mary said yes to the angel of God, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, step one, and come to believe that the Holy Spirit now endured you with power. He's in there to do the things that you felt powerless over, okay, as long as they line up with God's will, all right? And Acts 2:38 says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will conceive, the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" All right. So to be baptized is involve oneself deeply in a particular activity or interest in the seeking of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. To be immersed, baptized, to become completely submerged in the water, liquid, deeply involved, involve oneself deeply. And that's what the baptism, and I believe step two, is about, being baptized completely in the Holy Spirit. So we're getting ready to close. I just want to say Pastor Tom will be here next week. And so we'll take a break on the talking about the Holy Spirit, because we want to talk more about the Holy Spirit. I think it's important. So James, do you want to say any last words?
if there's anybody listening doesn't know the Lord.
Yes.
And you'd like to accept him, just says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he died and rose the third day, you shall be saved. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come in my heart.
I ask you to come in my heart.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Shalom, welcome shalom. To the family of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Death was not the end. You sent love to win, and hope was never lost. The price was paid at the cross, and darkness stood no chance against your mighty hand. So here I stand, remain, I will praise your mighty name. I will praise your mighty name. When I'm knocked down, I'll run to the cross. And Father, I